بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسوله الکریم، اما بعد. Most respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver at home, Alhamdulillah, we continue this very important hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he had given advice to Hazrat Jabir bin Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala. Golden advice is very valuable, beneficial guidelines and advices. And we had discussed this the past 2 weeks, where this Sahabi, Hazrat Jabir radiyallahu ta'ala, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem taught him how to greet, and then he asked Rasulullah for advices. We had mentioned the two advices that Rasulullah had given him, and we continue today inshallah with the other two or three advices. The very first one was that Rasulullah told him, لا تسبن أحدا, don't swear any person. We discussed this in detail. And the second one, ولا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا, don't look down upon any good deed. Don't think it to be insignificant. Don't think it to be petty. And last week we discussed the incident of the herdsman who in the battle of Khaybar was actually grazing the sheep of the Yahud. He was a non-Muslim. He happened to come into contact with some Sahaba. They took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was quite impressed to see Rasulullah sallam living so simply in a little tent. Rasulullah sallam gives him a da'wah towards Islam, and he accepts Islam. And then Rasulullah sallam tells him, take this sheep and give it back to the rightful owner, who was a Jew, although there was a war taking place. And this is the justice of Islam. And this person becomes shaheed in the battle. And Rasulullah sallam recognizes his body after the bodies of Sahaba were on the ground, and Sahaba were identifying them. And Rasulullah said, I recognize this body. And he is that person who hasn't had the opportunity of making one salat, no roza, no zakat, no hajj. He brought iman, and the very next thing he got shahadat without making any other amal. Allah Ta'ala gave him jannat. And then we explained that one good deed, it draws or it pulls another good deed. If a person does a good deed, Allah gives him the tawfiq of performing another good deed. Hazrat Mawla Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali used to say that when a thought of some good action comes to a person's mind, he would term that as warid. That this thought comes to his mind to do some good deed. So the moment this thought comes, we should entertain this thought. Just like a guest that comes. When a person has a guest, when he entertains the guest and looks after the guest will come back and feel like coming back to this person. But if he's not looked after, if he's not entertained well, he's ignored, this person will say, no use me going to that person's house, I'm not welcome there. So when this good thought comes to a person, for example, he gave the example of Mufti Taqi Sahib Damat Barakatum, says, person is going to drink water, the good thought comes, let me sit down and drink water because it is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then immediately do that. The moment you do that and make that amal, Allah will give you tawfiq of doing another good amal. But you shouldn't just dispel this thought and say, I'll do it later. Procrastination is a thief of time. Who knows whether we'll get the chance of doing the good deed or not. So the moment you get a chance and a good thought of doing a good deed, you have the strength, you have the time, you have the ability, then immediately bring the good deed into your life. Don't ever think of any deed to be small, insignificant. Especially the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You might think it's a small sunnah. No, there is no small or big sunnah. Every action which comes in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, it was the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we continue the third advice. So the first one was, لا تسبن أحدا, don't swear any person, don't be harsh, don't be cruel, don't use vulgar language, don't belittle, denigrate any person. Second one was that we should not despise any good action. The third advice, you should talk to your brother with an open, pleasing countenance and a smiling face. This attitude is also part of virtue. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَأَن تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ تَلِيقٍ. In one hadith it comes that you meet your brother with a smiling face. And in this particular hadith, the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, وَأَن تَكَلَّمَ أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجُّكُ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. That you speak to your Muslim brother in the condition that you are smiling towards him. This is from good deeds. This is from good character. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, it is sadaqah, charity, to meet a Muslim brother with a smiling face. This too carries a great reward and return. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu was one of the, actually Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu anhu was one of the very close companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's known as Yusufu Hadhi al-Ummah, the Yusuf of this Ummah, because he was extremely handsome. It's mentioned in the kitabs that Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajri radiallahu ta'ala, he was so tall that his head, when he would stand up, it would reach the saddle back of the horse. He was so tall. Extremely handsome. And he says, whenever I cast a glance at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I do not remember an occasion on which Rasulullah sallam did not smile. Whenever I called upon him, that is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I found him with a smiling face. Rasulullah sallam had an open, shining face indeed. Some people are under the impression that when a man is attracted towards deen, person now begins with his salat, he becomes righteous, then your person feels, now because I'm becoming righteous, I'm frequenting the masjid, so now I should become very, very dry and rough with no trace of smile on my face. So they consider this attitude as a necessary part of deen, which is incorrect. It's not known from where they have got this notion. This is contrary to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you meet anyone, meet him with a smiling face. Our Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib says, our Shaykh, either referring to Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi or Dr. Abdul Hayy rahmatullahi alayhi, that some people are miserly in the matter of money and some are miserly in the matter of smiling. They are never seen with a smiling countenance. This is a very easy and cheap virtue. That whenever you meet a Muslim brother, of course brothers, we're talking to males, when you meet your Muslim brother, don't go outside in the road and see, this is my Muslim sister, and now the hadith says, I must smile at her. That's not a place of smiling. That's a place of lowering your gaze. This is a very easy and cheap virtue, that whenever you meet a Muslim brother, meet him with a smiling face, and try to please his heart. Try to please his heart. This will add a good deed to your register of deeds, as an act of sadaqah. However, I will explain one important point, that as much as possible you will try to smile at the person. But there are occasions when a person is struck with grief. Sometimes a person is emotionally upset, or sometimes after some mujahada he made, he recited so much of dhikr, tilawat of the Quran, and he's still in that state where he has to come down to earth, as we say. Now suddenly you go and now try to smile and joke with him. He's not in the right frame of mind at that time. So yes, he will try and force a smile. That's what he should do. But sometimes you cannot blame the person. He is engrossed in deep thoughts. Deep thoughts. And if you recall the example we had given in the beginning, where Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala complained to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala that I made salam to Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala and Uthman did not give jawab to my salam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala immediately summoned him. Uthman, what's the matter? Umar has made salam to you, you haven't made reply to him. And we know how important salam is. He says, I can never recall. I don't know what he's talking about. Where did Umar make salam to me? I can't recall that. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu realized that Sayyidina Uthman was in deep thoughts. He was worried about something. He didn't realize that Sayyidina Umar went past and made salam to him. So those things happen. What was the reason of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu being in such deep thoughts? This was just after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So immediately after that, he was overwhelmed with such grief. And what was he worried about? that what is going to happen to us now? Or what is the way of salvation? Has anybody asked Rasulullah directly, what is najat for us now? In his absence, what must we do? How will we gain success in the hereafter? How will we gain the Jannat? Has anybody asked him explicitly? So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu explained, he said, this is what I was thinking about. And therefore I did not see Sayyidina Umar coming. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says, yes, I did ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the way for salvation? And Rasulullah explained about holding onto the kalima, believing in the kalima, holding onto the kalima. That is the only thing that will give a person salvation in the hereafter. So the point is, sometimes a person is in deep thought, oh, he did not see you. And now you see, why isn't he smiling at me? So we should always think good of the next person. However, in this hadith, we have learned that we should be smiling at our Muslim brother when we are talking to him. وَأَنْتَ كَلَّمَ أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهُكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُفِ. This little action, little in inverted commas, that just smiling at your Muslim brother is regarded as al-ma'ruf. Ma'ruf in Arabic means those things which has been sanctioned by Shariat, what Shariat recognizes as good. We have ma'ruf and we have munkar. Munkar, those actions which are despised by Shariat, rejected by Shariat. We are asked to refrain from those actions. Ma'ruf, what Shariat recognizes as good. And those are the things we should bring into our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. You can see these are simple yet great beneficial advices which we have to bring into our lives. The next advice, وَرْفَعْ إِزَارَكَ إِلَىٰ نِصْفِ السَّاقِ فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ فَإِلَىٰ الْكَعْبَيْنِ وَإِيَّاكَ وَإِسْبَالَ الْإِزَارِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him that raise your trousers above your ankles. In this hadith first, Rasulullah says, raise your trousers to half your shin, right till half your shin, nisfu saq. And if you cannot do so, then bring it, raise it so high, then at least just above your ankles. And beware of lowering your trousers or any garment that you're wearing from above, jubba, your kurta. It should not cover your ankles. And listen very carefully, this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah says, فَإِنَّهَا مِنَ الْمَخِيلَةِ. Doing so is due to pride. Let's see what Asad Mufti Taqisab Dhamad Barakatum says. He says, the Rasulullah said, let your lower garment be trousers or loincloth, hang down to half the length of the shin, or at least up to above the ankles. It is a part of pride to let this garment hang down to reach the ankles and cover them. In one hadith of Rasulullah is mentioned, that part of the ankles which has been covered by the trousers, that will be in the fire of Jahannam. So may Allah Ta'ala save us. Rasulullah said, Rasulullah did not say in this hadith that if you feel pride, do not hang down your garment up to the ankles. But if you do not feel pride, you may cover the ankles. Listen very carefully. Rasulullah didn't say that if you feel you don't have pride, if you feel you don't have pride, then you can lower your garment. And only if you feel you got pride, then you must raise your trousers or raise that garment that you are wearing, the loincloth or your kurta or the jubba. What did he say? That it is minal makhila. Rasulullah said prohibited. And he said, do not let your lower garment hang down to cover your ankles. In reply to objection, some people raise that they cover the ankles not because of pride, but because it is a common fashion to do so. The prohibition is due to the involvement of pride, which Rasulullah mentioned very clearly. Strange how people feel so confident of their being free from pride. If there is anyone on the surface of the earth free from pride, then it can only be Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was free from pride. Yet he never said that he was, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but yet he never said that he was ignoring the sunnah, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no pride in him. The fact remains that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never in his life let his lower garment hang down so as to cover the ankles. So sunnah of Rasulullah was not to cover the ankles. Of course, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Arif Billah Ramadhu used to say, the garments that you're wearing from below, in other words, you're wearing socks, you're wearing a moza, so that obviously will cover the ankles. We're talking about garments that come from above. Your trousers, your kurta, your jubba, these should not cover the ankles. So the point here is, that Rasulullah himself is saying, that any person who wears his garment, covering the ankles, it is from pride. Because many people, they will say, looking at another hadith of Rasulullah, that a person should not lower his garments out of pride. So they look at that hadith and say, I'm not doing out of pride. Therefore, it's permissible for me. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he was given special permission by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his case, because he tried desperately to keep on, he would keep on checking that his garment must not go below his ankles. And because of his physical stature, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knew that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had no pride whatsoever. And he was so concerned, and he was worried all the time that my garment must not go below my ankles. In his case, Rasulullah told him, for you it is okay. Not that you must deliberately let your garment go below the ankles. At times, possibly, if you were so busy and you tried desperately to make sure it does not go below your ankles, and you slipped or it happened to go down, in your case, it will not be min al-makhira. There is a riwayat of that nature as well. The point here is for us. Nobody has given us permission to lower garments. To say it's fashion. In other words, you are worried about society. You are worried when you go to the office, you're going to go to the shop, you're going to go to your practice, you're going to go to university, you're going to go to school. And what others will say, hey, how do I look? Hey, my garment, my trousers is above my ankles. And everybody else, especially the non-Muslims, what will they say? They laugh at me. So you are thinking now that because they will laugh at me, I don't want to feel so lowered. I must now cover my ankles. This is a sign of pride. Then you want to feel very good about yourself. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah has got beauty in it. It is difficult initially for a person to adopt the sunnah if this is his life, always lowering his garment. But we need to take that first step, take the himmat, you will lose nothing whatsoever. You will only gain and you will gain and gain. Why? Because you are now adopting the sunnah of the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing for beard. So we talk about sunnah, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we can carry big slogans and talk about the following Islam and bringing the people to Islam. But we don't have these important sunnahs in our life. The sunnah is not something that we just disregard. I think it's not farz, it's only sunnah. No. Again, it is the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah chose this way of life for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's humility in this. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he was stabbed by Firoz Abu Lu'lu, and you know the incident, and he's extremely ill. Whatever he used to eat, it used to come out of his body. He had a wound in his stomach. Whatever he used to eat, it should just come out from that wound. And he was extremely ill. People would come and visit him. This is the last few days of his life. So they came, a youngster, visited him. First the youngster praised him, oh Umar, oh Amir Mu'mineen, you were like this, and you do so much for Islam. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu said, no. That I just desire that my good deeds, that whatever good deeds I have, it must be able to wipe out my bad deeds. Whatever good deeds I have done, if Allah accepts it, I have hopes in Allah, that at least if Allah Ta'ala just takes his good deeds and wipes out my bad deeds, I'm happy. The youngster praised him, whatever. Then he took leave. And as he was leaving, in this condition, where the person is now, he's been stabbed very, very severely. He's unable to eat anything. Doctors can't really find any ilaj for him. These are the last few hours of his life. He will not be bothered about anything except something which was serious. So he looks at his youngster and he calls him back with love and muhabbat. Ya bunayya, oh my son, see your pants is below your ankles. Irfa izarak, raise your pants, your trousers, above your ankles. And he says, this is more purer for you, because if you are going to lower your garment, then some najasat, some napaki, some dirt can catch onto your trousers, and your trousers will get dirty. And the other one, it is a means of you getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ أَتْقَى لِلْقَلْبِ. It brings more taqwa in a person. We don't understand these wisdom behind all these sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The point is, even in that condition, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, a man who always abided by Quran and sunnah, and he saw it important to guide that youngster. Now, we don't have that courage today, and if you go and try and tell some person, you'll get angry. What your maulanas only worry about is small things. It's a very serious statement. These are small things. It's the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma asfala min al ka'abaini min al izari fa fi an-nar. That part of the ankle which is covered by the izar, then that part will be burning in the fire of Jahannam. So is that not serious? Hazrat Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, all the time, he would talk about lowering our gaze, he would talk about beard, he would talk about izar. That we should not lower our garments. So Rasulullah says that this is from pride. Therefore, banish from your hearts the excuse based on the presence or absence of pride. In this advice, Rasulullah has asked his ummah in definite words to refrain from this sin, because it is part of pride. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like pride or self-esteem. Self-esteem means considering oneself better than others. Allah does not like this attitude. He appreciates humbleness, submissiveness and modesty. He values and accepts those who possess his attributes. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects those who show pride, self-appreciation and arrogance. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Our job is not to look at the next person and see whose izar is below his ankles. No. That's our downfall. We look for faults of every other person. If we have got the sunnah, make shukr. And there are 1,000 other sunnahs we don't have in our life, which we should try and get. The fifth advice, if anyone abuses you or puts you to shame for some defect in you, do not retaliate by putting him to shame for some defect in him of which you are aware. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, wa ini mru'un ayyarak. If there's any person, wa ini mru'un shatamaka aw ayyarak. If any person finds a fault in you, abuses you, swears you, defames you, bima ya'lamu fik, regarding any quality that you have in you, a bad trait in you, and he denigrates you, فَلَا تُعَيِّرْهُ. Now you don't put him to shame. You don't pick on his fault, بِمَا تَعْلَمُ فِيهِ, with any bad quality you know of his. فَإِنَّمَا وَبَالُ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ. The consequence of what he has told you, he has denigrated you, he has ashamed you, he has made you embarrassed you, the consequence, the sin of that will be on his head. Nothing for you to worry about. If you are going to retaliate, what's going to happen? Now you're going to have a war. So in other words, you should not retaliate abuse with fault finding. He abused you, now you don't try and find fault. Very common. Somebody picks on us, immediately we'll find fault in him, in his mother, his father, his family. Husband and wife fighting. The wife says something, she picks on the weakness of the husband. Next minute, who's getting the swearing? Your father is like this, your mother is like this. Sometimes father, mother, already marhum. And we pick on the whole family. So Rasulullah says, do not retaliate abuse with fault finding. This is because the curse of abusing and fault finding by that person will fall on him, for which he shall be punished. If you take revenge, you will stand to gain nothing. But if you do not take revenge, you will receive a great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a man calls you a fool, and in turn, you also call him a fool. Now you have taken revenge on him. This act of retaliation is not unlawful, but this brings you no gain, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. So we see tit for a tat. He called me something, it's permissible to call him back or to retaliate. But what is the mizaj of Shariat. What does Shariat really want? It's permissible for you to retaliate as long as you don't over-retaliate, you don't exceed the bounds. But Shariat, what is it desire from us? That don't retaliate. Overlook him. Just ignore him. But now you have taken your revenge on him. This act of retaliation is not unlawful. But this brings you no gain. I think we mentioned the other day. That Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man comes and he swears at him. And he abuses Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He remains silent. After some time the man is still increasing. His tongue lashing and he's using some vulgar language. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala responded to him. He retaliated. He also told him a few hard words. A few harsh words. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately woke up from him. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu could see, he sensed that Rasulullah was not happy with his responding and retaliating to that person. So he runs behind Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah, you saw, you heard what he told me. Rasulullah said, yes. As long as you were silent, Allah had deputed an angel to respond on your behalf. That angel was responding, retaliating on your behalf. The moment you began to retaliate, that angel moved away. So I also moved away. So what is Shariat saying? You have to make sabr. It's difficult, very difficult the nafs. Who likes somebody to talk ill of him and belittle him and you just remain silent? But this is real tasawwuf and having the real type of tahammul which most of us don't have. I don't have it. May Allah give us this quality of hilm. Of hilm, to be so tolerant. This act of retaliation is not unlawful, but this brings you no gain, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. On the other hand, if you put up with the situation, and the heart pinching with patience, and suppress your anger, then about this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This is a sabr that you made. So, Allah ta'ala will give those people who are steadfast and patient, Allah Ta'ala will give them ajrahum, the reward, bighayri hisab, unlimited. Unlimited sawab you get because of sabr that you made. Now, Sayyidina Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi, there's a couplet that comes to mind. People told him, qalu, sakatta, qad sakatta, qalu sakatta wa qad khusimta. That you remained quiet, sakatta, وَقَدْ خُوْسِمْتَ. When you were quarreled, people said things against you, they insulted you, they argued with you, and they told you a couple of things, which were harsh, unruly. You just kept quiet. Why did you so? You should have responded. You should have retaliated. So he said, إِنَّ الْجَوَابَ لِبَابِ الشَّرِّ مَفْتُوحُ مِفْتَاحُ. He says, if I retaliated, then that retaliation responding would have been a key now to the door of all evils. To the door of evils. Because I would have said something in response. That person would have responded again. I would have said something again. Then we would have each person now cursing, swearing. Then we would have start fighting. And he could have led to more and more evil. So I kept quiet. And then he said, in keeping quiet, in English we say, silence is the best reply to a fool. Exactly that he says. That as-samtu, keeping quiet, an-jahilin or ahmaqin, a person who's a fool and he's telling you things, and you keep quiet, you don't retaliate, there's izzat and sharaf and honor for you in that. There's honor for you. And then he explains, he says, you see, you have lions, ama tara al-usuda, tukhsha, wa hiya samita. Don't you see lions? That they are silent, they are quiet, yet people are afraid of those lions. Lion is not saying anything. Lion is just quiet, still in the jungle. And people still are afraid of that lion. But you look at a dog that barks all the time, and what happened? People take a stone and throw that dog. People chase that dog away, that barking dog. So the person who keep on barking at you, and he'll keep on talking, so what he deserved to be pelted. People will chase him away. He sees like a barking dog all the time barking. But a lion is something that is, people are afraid of when? Wahiya samita, is quiet, silent. I'd rather be silent, and that's the best reply to these fools. And then Allah gives a person izzat that. But the moment I'm going to retaliate, I'm going to respond, then now I've taken the key and I've opened the door of evil. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. So earn a reward without count by controlling your tongue and yourself. Today it is not possible for us to estimate the volume and quantity of that reward, but we shall come to know in the hereafter, in the presence of Allah ta'ala, the great reward for holding and controlling our tongues. Rasulullah has given us this valuable advice that we should not retaliate abuse with abuse. Although we have a right to do that, it is much better to forgo that right and forgive the sinner. The Quran says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ نَذَلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. It is indeed a deed of great resolution for those who are patient and who forgive others. Another place Allah Ta'ala says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. Repel the evil deed with one which is better. This is what Shariat wants from us. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. So somebody was your enemy, he told you some very terrible words, he insulted you, belittled you, he hurt your feelings. Shariat says, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. You be kind to him. You must be kind to him. And when you do this, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةً. You had some enemy. You had some enmity between him and yourself. There was some enmity. Now when you were kind to him, although he was bad to you, what will happen now? كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. He'll now become your bosom friend. He'll realize that I was harsh and cruel to him, and this person is treating me so kindly. How could I be so evil? How could I be so terrible? I'm such a foolish person, and I'm doing such harm to him, and he is treating me so well. So Allah Ta'ala says, كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. The same person who was your enemy, now he becomes your bosom friend. But وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. None is granted this type of quality, where a person just forgives, he makes sabr and he forgives, and he becomes a bosom friend of that same person who was his enemy. Only that person gets this type of quality and honor who has sabr in him. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا. Only those who have sabr, they get this type of good quality. وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. And only those who are fortunate, those who have a great share and portion in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the ones who are imbibed with such equality. Therefore, form the habit of forgiving instead of taking revenge. There's a hadith in which Rasulullah said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if a man forgives others, I shall forgive him on the day when he shall be most needy of forgiveness. You forgive somebody in the dunya, and you forget about it. On the day of Qiyamah, when you are so in need of Allah Ta'ala forgiving you, Allah will say, remember in the dunya you forgave that one person, today I am also forgiving you. It is quite apparent that a man will be most needy of forgiveness in the hereafter. There are other pieces of advice given by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we adopt them for action in our lives, all quarrels will come to an end. Enmities will vanish and all disturbances will subside. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. So very quickly again, these advices of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. First, Nabi Kareem Sallam taught him the correct way of making salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We discussed that in detail. And then the advices where he asked specifically for advice. The very first one was, La tasubbanna ahadan. Don't sway any person. Second one, وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِّنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. Don't look down upon any good deed. Don't treat any good deed as being petty, insignificant. وَأَن تَكَلَّمَ أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهُكَ. And you meet and you speak to your Muslim brother in the condition that you are smiling at him. So the third advice. Then وَرْفَعْ إِزَارَكَ إِلَىٰ نِسْفِ السَّاقِ. That you should raise your garment above your ankles, just above the ankles. First, Rasulullah said, if you bring it right up till half your shin, if you cannot do that, and at least just above your ankles. And you should be careful of lowering your garment. The next advice was that if any person sways you, abuses you, talks ill of you, hurts your feelings, then you don't pick on his fault, which you know of him. Why? Because the consequences of that evil that he has done to you will be on him. You are free from it. So you don't have to worry.
And that person who has humility for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala will honor him in this dunya. And if you forgive a person in this dunya, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you in the akhirat. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah to make amal on this. Altogether, it's 6 valuable practices, including the salam that Rasulullah has taught. And thereafter, Rasulullah has taught in 5 advices. These are the things we should do, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah of bring this into our lives. This is the need of our times, that we should bring in these type of amal into our lives. This is the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we bring these sunnat in our life, and these practices, and these deeds, and these advices, then we find that many, many things that we find unpleasant in society, there are quarrels and fighting, and family members are not talking, and so many things, the ills that are taking place, all this will be avoided. Everything will be avoided. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.